Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
All right, Brad. You know, I brought the energy today. I flipped the switch. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah. I hope the audience is ready too, because today's guest, he's the kind of guy who gets it. I'm talking about someone who actually is walking the walk in the skilled trades world.
That's right. He's not just some recruiter hiding behind a desk. Nope. This dude is out there living it. Joe McLaren from Comfort Systems USA Schaffner. He's recruiting tradespeople, building culture, and putting it all out there on LinkedIn like a damn boss.
He is, and his story is not a straight line. He's bounced around from food service, medical collections, mortgage casts, and finally said, screw it, I'm going to stay in this recruiting world, and now he's killing it.
And he's a millennial, just like me. Really? So, of course, we have to dig into that. Talk about generational shifts. What younger folks are looking for and why some companies still think posting a job and praying is a recruiting strategy.
Hope is the best strategy, but Joe breaks it down for us, from the importance of showing what the real culture looks like on social and why recruiting the trades needs a serious kick in the ass. No fluff, just practical, proven things that work.
If you're trying to attract talent, if you're whining about nobody wants to work, or if you're just ready to hear someone drop some truth bombs with a side of sarcasm, this is your episode.
So hit play, and if you're still hiring like it's 2005, Joe's about to show you why your job posts are ghosted harder than a Tinder date. Let's go.
Welcome back to the show, Blue Collar BS, everyone. How you doing today, Brad?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And how are you? I see you brought your energy today, finally.
I did bring the energy today.
Just good to see that.
We had to flip the switch. Somebody noticed. So the switch was flipped.
Good to see. Good to see.
So how are things going over there in the greater Milwaukee area?
This weekend is first robotics competition locally. So me being the idiot, thinking that everything, you know, things remain the same. I went downtown to the arena that's always been at for the last decade plus, and it's not there. They moved it.
Oh.
And they also moved the Thursday was practice. Friday was comp set. No, today was practice. So it's like, oh, really? But I got to go see some old friends and some mentors and some folks I haven't seen in a while and spent some time there, shot a little video, had a mentor do some stuff that posted on LinkedIn. So it was all in all, it was a good day.
Well, that's
Now we're here. Now we're here to talk about more fun skill trade things.
Awesome. Who do we have on the show today?
Today we have our guest, Joe McLaren. He is a skilled trades advocate and a talent acquisition manager at Comfort Systems USA Schaffner, if I'm reading that correctly. He does all the recruiting and social media to attract and retain and hire talented individuals to help them be successful. His background is a dynamic one, food and bev, money, now recruiting, all these things. The guy's got a wealth of knowledge, and we are happy to have him here. Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Wealth of knowledge is kind of is saying it nicely. It's more like trivial pursuit knowledge, where some of it is useful, but most of it's not.
Not unless you get your little pies inside the little thing, then it's important.
It is important. So, Joe, before we get going too much further here, which generation do you identify with?
I am a millennial.
Just like Steve.
And boomer. See, go down that road.
We did. Flip the switch.
You did flip the switch today. So Joe, tell our audience more about your journey. How did it start and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, so it's a tangled journey of different career choices that did not work out perfectly, but it got me to where I am today, so I'm okay. In college, I went to Tennessee Tech University for business management and human resources. I kind of fell in love with recruiting there. Okay. Got out of school and found out that the market at that time didn't care what my degree was in. Had to have experience. So did some mortgage collections. We could go on for hours about the fun stories with that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Food service, medical collections, some other food service. Got some home security. And then I finally stepped away from that and said, I only am going after recruiting jobs. It's the only thing I want to do. I'm going for it. So I was given an opportunity by an awesome lady, my last job, that set me up to get to where I am today. So now I'm at Comfort Systems USA Schaffner, and I am in love with the skilled trades and the construction industry. What we do is just
what flipped that switch for you, right? I mean, being that you had the food and bev background and you had some other things going on, what flipped that switch that the skilled trades was that much cooler than some of the other things you had experienced?
All that stuff is really boring. Anybody could find call center job. You could talk on the phone, do whatever. And I didn't know anything when I came in here. I had no idea. It's like construction is building stuff. Got it. That was the extent of my knowledge. But during my interview process, my now boss took me to Neyland Stadium, University of Tennessee's campus, where we're doing work, and was able to walk the job site and talk to some of the people in the field. And of course, I didn't sell it because I'm still in like protect myself, like I'm not sold on the job yet mode. But in reality,
I'm being a real cool cat going on this thing as you're gawking over everything that's happening around you.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't want to tell him. I was like, that sealed the deal. It's like, this is the stuff that the company does. Like, I want to get in on this.
Yes, I'll go to prom with you.
Yep. My first day, they gave me the corsage. It was beautiful.
That's funny. Way to go, Brad.
What? That's, I mean, here we, I mean, really, that's kind of
that's it's funny because it's the reality of what just happened. That's, you know,
so have you leveraged that in your process now to recruit and bring folks to the job sites doing the things, or are you all virtual, social, Zoom, non-personal type recruiting? How have you made a switch or a change to attract the 26 and younger crowd into your organization?
We don't use much automation. Mm-hmm. We don't use video interviews. This industry is very face-to-face personal interactions. Mm-hmm. And if we don't instill that right out the gate, then in my eyes, we've lost touch with what we really are. So everything is in person, face to face. I think the biggest thing for the industry is to do everything you can recruiting, whether that's social media, whether that's visiting schools, getting in front of teachers and especially parents, so that parents understand that this is not a dead end career. This is not for stupid people. You have to be smart to be successful in construction, period. Mm-hmm. End of report. So if you can't do fractional math or what we call tape measure math, if you can't do it, you're not going to be successful. But that's okay, because we'll also teach you. So leveraging what we offer as far as our apprenticeship program, the guaranteed employment, the steady growth of the company, you know, there's a lot of great opportunities there. Where we see tech industry, people are getting laid off in the hundreds of thousands a year. When's the last time you've seen a mass layoff in construction that wasn't just temp or temporary staffing?
Correct.
You don't see it. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Nope, you do not. There is a degree of certainty there over and over and over again, as long as the cost of capital is relevant enough to continue with the projects that are there, right? That's the downside of it. And that's kind of how... I think that's how we got into this situation, right? When in 2001, 2002, in that little recession that was there, the boomers were old enough to leave and young enough to come back. And then we forgot about all these folks for the next 20 years. And now here we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I attribute a lot of it to the education system. And like when I was in high school, there was a shop class, but it still had that negative connotation behind it that it's for stupid kids. Well, of course, you're in high school. You're just going to go with the crowd and believe whatever. But then as you get older, you look back, it's like, no, those are amazing skills to have. Even just basic carpentry or plumbing or electrical, just basic level stuff sets you up so much better in your life. And I hear a lot of these folks out here, you know, they might be a plumber, but They can do carpentry work. They can do tile work. They can do framing. You can do lots of other things just because of their experience in the trades. So not only do you have a long, stable career, now you're not paying thousands of dollars for somebody to come fix your home or do repairs. And then it's frustrating sometimes because it, you know, like I say, it is looked down on, but the opportunity outside on your tools,
right?
You don't have to be on your tools your whole career.
Correct.
You work your way up to foreman. You can work your way to project manager, estimating, BIM.
Estimating is huge, right? If some of these younger individuals that can get the field experience understand that how it all works and come back in and change the estimating world, that is a massive gap that exists, because go find a good estimator that's under the age of 48.
Yeah. You're going to struggle to find that kind of fit.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is the... Right, you've been in this space. You're attracting and retaining younger talent. What's something that has failed that you would recommend not to do to bring younger talent into an organization? What have you tried and failed at? This is stupid. We shouldn't do this. Don't do this again.
I can't think of anything that was just, we're never going to do this again. I feel like If you go into it like that, you're shutting a door on a potential opportunity in the future.
Okay.
I will say what does tend to hurt the industry, especially in commercial, is the scale of it, the complexity of it, the amount of people on the job, the heat, the cold. It's one thing we could tell you in an interview, hey, when it's hot, it's hot. It's cold, it's cold. But until you're out there in 110 degrees in the sun,
it's a different
in a trench, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of attrition just within that first 6 months of employment, because they're hitting one of those peaks.
Yep.
So I think being transparent and clear about what this work really looks like is important. And I think we've shifted in trying to put more emphasis on that on the front end, because we want to make sure that we set clear expectations.
Mm-hmm. Question for you around that. Is that a trend that you're seeing, like a 6 month attrition, like there is fallout within the 6 months? Or are you seeing some other trends with the workforce coming in today?
So as far as that 6 month time frame, I started chopping up our retention and 3 month increments up to 2 years.
Yep.
And found that within those first 6 months was the highest by far. They make it past that, they tend to stay two or more years.
Yep.
Okay. Within that first about a year, maybe year and a half time frame, I see a lot of people leaving for 25 cents, 50 cents on the hour, which money pays the bills, makes the world go round. It does. I get it. But with all the apprenticeship and the free classes and the free training and the free tools that we provide to the job sites, then, you know, they're sacrificing something there.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you creating the culture to keep them to stay and not go for the 25 cents?
Mm-hmm.
We have to treat them the way that... I feel like there's a lot of disrespect between office and field for a lot of companies I've heard.
You think?
Yeah. And that's you know, that's putting it pretty nicely.
Yep.
Usually the field is saying the office is worthless, lazy, they don't do shit. And the office think, oh, well, they don't know nothing. They're stupid. They don't know what we do. Well, we need each other. We have to have open lines of communication. We have to be there to support them. And just like I tell a lot of these kids coming in for their orientation days, is I work for you. Without you, they don't need me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone. They need you.
Mm-hmm.
I work for you. If there's ever anything you need, you can call us. We will drop everything we're doing to take care of you. And on the flip side, when they're coming in, can you get
the flip cup stand at the job site for us?
Have you had that request yet?
No, not yet. No, there's no foosball tables out there. flip cup, maybe an adult Jenga here or there, those big ones.
Okay.
Bust your toes open. Yeah. Maybe one of those. But you got to provide for them. You got to give them the tools to be successful up front. So as a company, we provide all their PPE except for boots and pants. We give them a starter tool set. We pay for medical insurance for the employee.
Mm-hmm.
They have the free apprenticeship. No, it's 4 years. It's a grind. I get that. It's just like college. It's accredited with the Department of Labor. It's an NCCER program. So it's legitimate. It's a program that I don't care where you move in the United States. They can pull your NCCER number. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a job because you can prove without a shadow of a doubt, you know your stuff.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Do they understand that at all? Or is it so, or is it such a narrow, I'm worried about right now that I'm not concerned about 10 years from now as they go through the apprenticeship program? Are they aware of the magnitude, or how are you creating the awareness of the magnitude of that opportunity?
No, I think we hit and miss on the people sometimes.
Okay.
Whether that be an interview process, maybe we didn't explain something, maybe there's something we didn't catch that they said, or a certain attitude that they show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough.
And that's okay, right? It's part of the growth journey. It's part of all the things. It's part of the generations moving forward, right? And mm-hmm. and I guess my other question I would have around that is, you know, with these younger individuals coming in and seeing these benefits in the education, the opportunity, do you have resentment from some of your older staff members that may not have received that same level of benefit or treatment or activity along the way? Is there a divide that's been created? And if there is, how are you managing it? And if there isn't, how did you allow it not to happen?
Yeah, there is somewhat of a divide. We're very clear with our employees, and we are very fortunate for the type of people that we do have, that they do go into it with a coaching and training mindset. So they may not be as resentful on the school. I think where we come up with snags is pay. Okay. Is just based on inflation, cost of living, we are having to offer brand new green people more money than they started out with.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And maybe that person is now, you know, $15 an hour behind this more experienced person, but maybe they don't see the trend of the cost of living and the other factors that go into that starting pay.
Right.
So we do have some frustration with that. A lot of time we just have to have a candid conversation with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, explain why this green person's making what they're making.
Right.
And
well, yeah,
we haven't lost anybody because of it.
Good.
But we do have to have tough conversations.
Mm-hmm. But the fact is that you're having them. You're having those conversations
yep.
and you're hearing what the employees are saying so that there's trust. You're building trust with the employees for retention.
Yeah, we have to listen, especially as these next generations are coming into the field. They have a different mindset of work. They mm-hmm. want to be heard. They want opportunity. They want to be taken care of. So if we can lay that groundwork now, and we have been for a few years, that is only going to set us up for more success as this next generation comes in.
Yeah.
Because we're absolutely. Going to be used to those conversations.
Absolutely.
Have you started planning yet for Gen Alpha? You know, that 12-year-old and younger. Have you started thinking about that shift yet?
Not enough, honestly. I do go to some middle schools around the Knoxville area, try to get mm-hmm. in front of some of the younger groups. And I think it's more of a, like, I take a different approach with them. I make a presentation that is all just the really, really, really cool stuff that we do. Just the coolest things I can find and put it up there in front of them while I'm talking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whereas the older kids, the high school kids, they want to hear about the money. They want to hear about the opportunity. Where's the room for growth? So I have to take a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
But I need three more of me to really tackle it the way it needs to be tackled.
Right. Right. What would you say to those high school students that are truly looking at the trades? Like when you're having those talks, like what is
for our audience that, you know, they're not getting out in front of kids because they might have some apprehension. What do you actually communicate to those kids that get them like, yeah, I want to come see what you guys have to offer?
Yeah, we do focus a lot on the training because of the certified apprenticeship program. And I use it in twofold. It's like, one, we are going to make sure that you are a skilled tradesman. You mm-hmm. are going to know your stuff.
Right.
But on the kick side, I say, now, if this is an opportunity that you really are looking forward to get into the trades, what do your parents think? Mm-hmm. What did your parents tell you? Have you talked to them about it?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I hear they want me to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being down on it, like, oh, well, yeah, you know, school is good. I mean, yeah. No, I say, that's great. We have a free school. You don't have to pay to go to trade school. Mm-hmm. Don't go in a debt for a four-year university. It's accredited. We can verify it. So if parents want you to go to school and you want to go into the trades, here's where those two avenues meet. And here's how we can bridge that.
That's fantastic that you guys actually have an accredited program that students can actually go through and prove to their parents, yeah, I'm going to school. Right. And I'm getting paid while doing it.
Yep. And even better, the class is not taught by, you know, the high school football coach that has to teach a class for his contract for his job. It's not any of those.
Right.
All of our classes are taught by project managers, estimators, and foremen.
Yep.
People that have been in the field, they know the trade, and they know how to teach it. So NCCR has its own curriculum, and that's awesome. It's good. It's great, great information. But when it's taught by our people, they can throw in those extra nuggets that they've learned, or here's a different way that we do this that we've found more effective.
Personalize it.
Yeah, it rounds them out perfectly. It's amazing.
That's very, great. Very cool.
That's great. The other question that I had is more around, you know, that experienced workforce. And because some of the people coming, the younger people coming in, there's the stigma that they don't like to work. And they have an attitude around, you know, well, I'm here, I need to be the foreman today on the job site type scenario with that type of mentality with the younger generation. Have you ever seen that type of mindset with the younger generation? But then also the follow-up with that is, how do the experienced workforces handle the younger generation that kind of has that, I would say, false sense of, you know, where their place is when they come in and start work?
Anybody that tells you it never happens is likely lying to you. It absolutely
happens. You're more forceful than that, Joe. It's okay.
Absolutely happens.
Yep.
Yeah. We've had people kick the younger guys off the job. They're not cutting it. Well, they're cutting it different than your expectations. So some people we have to have conversations with and talk to them about approach and communication skills, those soft skills that they don't have. They have all the training in the world to mm-hmm. install an HVAC system, but they don't know how to have a conversation.
Yep.
So we have to train those soft skills. We're going to have the folks that just get them off my job, quit putting apprentices with me. I'm tired of it. And that's going to be their stance.
Yep.
And it is what it is. I mean, they're great foremen, they're great leaders as far as the job and the work.
Right.
So we have to try to train those communication skills.
Yeah.
But we also have one foreman in electrical that is 23 years old.
Wow. He was
running work before he graduated apprenticeship in electrical.
Awesome.
We have one in plumbing. He started running work right at the end of his apprenticeship. And now he's running solo plumbing, full jobs by himself, big scale jobs like schools.
That's fantastic.
So I think as the older generation retires, we're going to see a shift in communication and leadership styles as mm-hmm. these people and millennials and Gen X, these people, maybe some Gen Z coming up too. I mean, they're right there, are taking over these leadership positions. Yeah. I mean, they're taking leadership positions, and yep. their outlook is going to be a lot different than the 65-year-old foreman.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it is what it is. That's how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And I think the industry is going to see a big shift in the next 10, 15 years when these folks take leadership positions.
I think it's going to be way sooner than that.
I hope you're right.
It's going to be, I would say in the next 3 years, you will see a massive shift because you will have boomers that will be able, that will say, hey, I'm out. Gen X that doesn't want to be there because they're stuck in the middle. And it's going to be heavily millennial Gen Z driven. And it will be interesting to see how, when those older Gen Zs may have taken a different approach than maybe some of the millennial crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And they jump over to those leadership folks and they pass them up, similar to how, you know, millennials passed X and X passed boomers and all those other things in front of them. It'll be interesting how that dynamic plays out. That will be a very challenging situation, I think, for many trade organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And it's getting that training now, in the next couple of years, and make sure you're getting in front of your more experienced people that are looking forward to that next leadership position.
Right.
So how are we going to develop those skills now so that when you're ready to take over as a foreman, you can have those conversations in a positive and meaningful way.
Right.
Yep.
All right. So this is Steve. Go ahead.
We're at that point. So Joe, we're at that point where right before we kind of cut out, we kind of added in this segment called Bite Your Tongue. So you haven't heard it before on the, maybe you've heard it a little bit on some of the newer ones. But it's, have you ever had an instance where you have said something to someone and you would have been like, you know, I really should have bit my tongue. I shouldn't have said that. Have you ever come across a scenario like that, especially on a job site or things?
Or a customer you may have been serving food and beverage to.
some friends actually didn't have anything on an actual job site. We were having a conversation out by the pool last year, and they were on that boat of the trades is a bunch of idiots. And I immediately felt my blood pressure go through the roof.
Yep.
I felt my face getting super red. I was angry. I was white knuckling it from clenching my fist.
Yep.
And I was able to bite my tongue after I said, "What the hell is wrong with you?" And right after that came out of my mouth, I was like, "That's a terrible approach to convince them of anything. Let me stop and change this."
We're going to go with the conflict approach versus the understanding approach.
Yeah, so here's all the credibility I want to have, and then here's me blowing it out of the sky by saying that line.
Yeah.
I wish I had bit my tongue there.
Yeah.
I don't think I convinced them of anything that day.
Sorry.
I can't win them all.
No, we can't win them all. We always have those moments where we're like, you know, on the reflection side, it's like, yeah, could have, should have, would have, but you know what? Kind of had fun doing it.
Yep. Yep. I can always second guess what happened in the past and nothing I can do about it.
Right.
Right. So Joe, for any younger folks that are in the Knoxville area or even down in, you know, just in that region of the U.S. Or other talent acquisition folks that are in the industry, they want to get a hold of you, talk to you, find out what's working, not working. How do they find you? Where do they get a hold of you? How do they reach out, etc.?
LinkedIn. As a recruiter, I live on there. Send me a DM. I'm happy to answer any questions. Happy to try to make industry contacts. I mean, we're a part of Comfort Systems USA, which is national. I can find the recruiter or hiring manager of any of our operating companies within the United States. So even if you're not in my direct area, I can connect you with somebody that could provide an opportunity. Because we need you. We're going to keep needing you.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a labor shortage or a skills gap. And I don't think it's a skills gap. I think it's a lack of accessibility for opportunity for those people that don't have the skills.
Yes.
It's poor communication, poor understanding. You've told people you're not worthy for two decades, and now now you're important. Mm-hmm. It's like prove it. It's like all the BS meters are up, and it's like, okay, great. So it's an uphill battle. So, Joe, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your opportunity. I'm so glad you said yes to the prom date to get you in this spot, because otherwise we wouldn't be here today. So, yeah. You know, you're on your second date. So congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.